This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It's Sean Jackson, the host of The Missing Link, and I'm joined, as always, by the incandescent Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
I am very joyful today as well as incandescent. How are you, Sean?
I'm actually concerned. You know, most of the time I say I'm fantastic or something, right? You know, but I'm actually concerned, Micah.
Ooh, about what?
Well, about a week ago, I was down in Houston giving the keynote speech at the Houston Interactive Marketing Association's annual conference. And it was fun, and they were just a great audience and great organizers. But during my presentation, I mentioned about the missing link and, you know, how we focus on LinkedIn marketing.
Right.
And people came up to me afterwards, not to compliment me on my great speech, by the way.
Which I'm sure it was.
But they came up and they were asking a ton of questions about marketing on LinkedIn, why they should do it, how they should do it, et cetera. And, you know, it really kind of occurred to me as I was listening to those questions that some of the very basic stuff that we cover on this show, they were not aware of. I mean, it just blew
right,
me away.
Right, right.
And in some of these cases, based on what they were marketing, I was like, you really have to be on LinkedIn. I mean, that's the only place for you to be spending your social media marketing time.
Right.
And I was just sitting there after person that would talk to me about it, realizing that we have a problem. And the problem is this. There are people out there that have no clue what they're doing when it comes to LinkedIn marketing. They don't. And they don't know about the show. Now,
that's sad.
Now, usually everyone who's listened to the show for a long time, you know that we always give a plug for our super secret private LinkedIn discussion group. And we're going to do that at the end of the show. But I don't want to do that this time, Micah. Okay? Here's what I want to do. I want to ask our audience for their help.
Okay.
Because I really believe that true wealth in this world is derived from how many people you help, right?
Okay.
I believe that is certainly the mission. It's the mission why we're doing the show, Micah, right? I mean,
exactly. I love it as an overall thing anyway.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're not doing this because we're consultants. You can't hire Micah and I to come and, you know, teach you about, you know, doing LinkedIn. It's the show, right? And quite frankly, we don't sell anything on the show other than sponsoring the Rainmaker platform, which makes sense because it's our company's product. But at the same token, we do this for a passion for number one, helping other people, and number two, for helping them use LinkedIn effectively. And the reality is that there are people out there that are not doing that, Micah.
I know.
So I'm going to ask our audience's help. And so what I want you to do, number one, I want you to go to missinglink.fm and I want you to pick your favorite episode. And I want you to just click one of the share buttons. Obviously do LinkedIn first, right? You got to do that first. But if you have another social media channel, you're like, push it out there. Number two, I would really appreciate it if you would go into iTunes and leave us some sort of rating on there, something.
Right.
Because there are people who are searching for the show and want to know what others think about it within the iTunes environment. And number three, of course, is if you're so inclined to write about the show on LinkedIn Pulse, of course, then I will make you this promise that if Mike and I read it and we like it, we will use every effort we can to socialize that post across our social media channels.
Right. And don't forget, that's adding value to their audience as well.
You know why? Because it gets the person who's writing it attention, dang it.
Yeah.
Now, of course.
But it's a great idea. I love that because I mean, we've got some great feedback on this show. I mean, people are like, we are now using LinkedIn successfully. And
that's right.
So, yes, I love that paying it forward, if
paying
you will.
Paying it forward because there are people out there that are suffering. Now, if this is the first time you listen to the show or if you just don't like us, please ignore everything we just said. Just hit the, you know, just hit forward, okay? We're done. But if you're a fan of the show, I and Micah know that there are people out there that could benefit. And all we're asking you to do is just take a second to go to missinglink.fm, pick your favorite episode, socialize it out there. And if you're so inclined to write about it, then do so on the Pulse Network. Get it out there. We'll do our best to spread the word of your writing. And it doesn't have to be flattering, by the way. Please don't.
Well, and the other thing is this, it's helpful for your audience. That's right. this is adding value to their audience well. Because I think we do a pretty good job of sharing information on LinkedIn.
Top 10 things I learned from The Missing Link and how it helps you. Because I believe that true wealth is from helping others. Mm-hmm. And if you can reach out there to your network and get them listening to the show, then hopefully they will see the same benefit and, of course, not find frustration and failure and angst and not go the right direction, but instead find success. Because, Micah, damn it, I want people to be successful.
That's exactly right. So do I, Sean. We're in this together.
You got it. All right. So who we have coming up next is the other thing that I did when I was in Houston I ran into our good friend, Sean Dolan of Pushfire. Now, for those of you who don't know who Sean Dolan of Pushfire is one of the true experts in online advertising. They do an incredible job. And we've actually here at Rainmaker Digital, we've used them in the past to test advertising. I mean, we're not a big advertising shop. We don't spend money on advertising, but we do like to test things. And Sean has been the guy who we turn to for testing out ads for our own company.
Wow.
So I talked to Sean and said, hey, you know anything about LinkedIn? And he got a little wry smile on his face and he goes, oh, do I? So coming up from the break, we have Sean Dolan of Pushfire to talk about how to do advertising effectively on LinkedIn. Stay tuned, everyone.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back from the break. And as promised, we have our expert. I think, Micah, you would call him an expert, wouldn't you? Expert on advertising.
Guys.
Mr. Sean Dolan. Sean, thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's funny. It took me way too long to figure this out, but my middle name is actually Micah. So I am Sean Micah Dolan.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That's a note to anyone who wants to be interviewed. If you're two first names,
you've got a pretty good chance of getting on the show.
That's right.
We're going to check out Micah Sean. We're going to check out who Micah Sean is and what his expertise is.
And that would be the show, everybody. Yes, we have Sean Micah.
in fact, when I got in trouble as a kid, it was Sean Micah.
So, oh, really?
I don't know what that says.
You know what's so funny? That's what happens here at the company, too. So, Sean, everyone knows, or at least thinks, that LinkedIn advertising is just too expensive for the normal average solo practitioner, you know, the guy or gal who's selling writing services, legal services, consulting services or something, right? And so they really just don't, you know, have the perception that this is something that is affordable for your average small business. What do you say?
Right. Yeah. So I say that I hear this a lot in digital marketing, where different businesses have tried, whether it's AdWords or Facebook or LinkedIn, and they've determined that it doesn't work. My response to that is always, it works if you know how to work it and if it's the right platform for you. So what LinkedIn offers currently is, you know, there's two umbrellas of marketing services they offer. One of them is called LinkedIn Marketing Solutions. It's more geared towards enterprise clients of theirs. One of their big technologies they've come out with is called LinkedIn's Lead Accelerator. Basically, LinkedIn bought Bizzo Multichannel Nurturing in August of last year, and Bizzo has been mastering prospect nurturing through, you know, evaluating content engagement, email opens, and then using that information and knowledge to display on social networks and display networks. And they've gotten really good at it. So they're basically merging those two technologies in with LinkedIn so that they can take your customers and nurture them and show them certain content based on their behavior. So it's kind of like remarketing, except for what we traditionally think of remarketing as advertisers is, you know, we have a cookie we drop on our site and then you show ads to people based on other behaviors. This is sort of self-contained within LinkedIn. And you have someone on LinkedIn side that helps you, you know, walk you through and hold your hand and manage it for you. But the barrier to entry on that is $40,000 a year minimum. You have to spend to be a part of it. So it also requires 100,000 uniques per month. So that is not something that every business owner can obviously be a part of just because of that barrier of entry. But LinkedIn does offer, you know, in their other umbrella, they have, you know, LinkedIn ads, which allows you basically, it's a self-serve, you know, pay-as-you-go option where you have the LinkedIn ads and you'll notice them. Anyone who's been in LinkedIn, you'll see the LinkedIn ads on the right side. They look kind of like what you see in Facebook's sidebar, kind of that size with like an image and some text. And then you have the text ad, which you'll see in the very center top below the menu. And you have the sponsored updates, which much like Facebook's sponsored posts, you can create a an update on your LinkedIn profile and then promote that to a specific target. So it's not just promoting it to your audience, but it's promoting it to specific targeting that you've set up in the account. And I know that anyone that's been listening to this podcast already knows how to push out their own updates. So it's definitely something that every person can do. You pay as you go. And as long as the targeting's right, and you are B2B and you've figured out that LinkedIn is where your market is, then it will work for you. If you're selling, B2C and you're selling something like monthly subscriptions for pets like BarkBox or something, LinkedIn may not be right for you. But definitely anyone in the B2B space, LinkedIn is where it's at.
So let's go back and let's chase this down a little bit more because I'm a lot of our audience are out there. They're solo practitioners, small little groups, or maybe they're one or two people in a marketing department of a small business, let's say. Mm-hmm. So what is the type of ad spend? So we have the two options, right? We have that kind of LinkedIn marketing services, $40,000 a month, 100,000 views, per month. And then you have the LinkedIn ads, which seem to, they have three components, if you will. Talk to me a little bit about cost. Mm-hmm. What you generally recommend for those small businesses or that solo practitioner, what do they really need to think of? Because I know this, everybody says, oh, Google ads are so cheap, blah, blah, blah. What they don't factor in is all the money you need to test things when you're doing it. So kind of give our audience a little bit of your recommendation on what should someone be thinking about a budget for LinkedIn ads? What should they be thinking about a time period? What are some of the metrics they should be thinking about when looking at pursuing this?
Sure. So, it's a complicated question or the answer is complicated and it really depends. And I hate to just say it depends, but I will give a number out that I kind of find will cover most of the bases here, mm-hmm. but it depends on who you're targeting. So, if you're on, Facebook and you're targeting, maybe some new health insurance plan for teachers or something, that's a really big audience. So for you to get any sample data that's going to be representative of what your advertising will be in the future, anything of any statistical significance, you're going to need to get a certain number of ads viewed and clicked and conversions made in order to evaluate how that performs for you, right? It's kind of like I said this in my presentation Thursday, if you flip a coin three times and you get heads twice, you can't just be like, okay, well, heads won, we're done here,
Yeah.
So you got to flip it more times, to reach that statistical significance. So with LinkedIn, just kind of a hard and fast number, I would say $500.
Mm-hmm. $500 per month.
I would say $500. Okay. To see if it works for you. Mm-hmm. If after $500 you don't get a conversion, you might want to revisit your landing page and your overall sales funnel to kind of see what's going wrong, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not all the advertising's fault at the end of the day. The advertising just brings the guy into your store. You've got to actually convert them. So I would say $500 in on any campaign I'm running, aside from crazy like mesothelioma or anything right. where the cost per clicks are insane. If I'm hitting $500 and I don't see a conversion, I'm pausing and reevaluating.
And now let's put that into context for a second because I don't want people to be scared like it's $500 a month or $500 a day. It's that if you're selling in a B2B environment, generally you're selling something that has a very high margin, maybe your time, right? So, if you think about the cost versus the return on ad spend, which, I hate the word ROI, ROAS is better. If you look at your return on ad spend, it may cost you $500. But what is it that you would normally spend to get someone's attention, right? You take them to lunch, you're taking them out, you're going to have multiple conversations. So what you're really saying is, look, take $500 and test and see if you can get people to respond to the ad, come to your page, and mm-hmm. then to click on your call to action, whether it's a phone, email, whatever that happens to be, and see what happens with that just initial $500 spend, knowing that if you do get a conversion, exactly. you know, that could be a $10,000 awesome. Customer, right? You know, so
right.
I gotcha. All right.
Yeah. And from there, if you get, you know, one conversion out of that, or even if you get three emails and they don't convert, you at least have an indication because you know what your conversion rate is on your emails or your leads. You get an indication of whether it's working for you. I guess a better way to put that is I would trust it up until $500. If at $500, nothing's happening, you need to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. But that would be my sort of comfort zone of don't freak out yet. Let it ride for $500. Because a lot of people go in and, you know, $80 later, they're like, oh,
right.
No conversions for $80.
Right.
You know, and they're done. And I'm like, wait a minute.
I would have to take my client to that steak dinner for $200. Yeah. Forget this $80. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, but you know, statistically, there's three conversions around the corner. So that just allows you to really cover and fully test it out. Another tip for that is, let's say, again, you're trying to reach all teachers in the U.S. that are on LinkedIn. You want to also think about segmenting by city, and not even segmenting, just initially start targeting by one city. So I'm here in Houston. Houston's a big city, maybe pick a smaller city, but target one city and target those, you know, that job title within that city only. So you can kind of test out a microcosm of the entire audience to see if it converts for you. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're Houston based. Some percentage better, you know, you'll get a little better conversion from people that are local because, you know, they know you're down the street. So, you know, they always say lowest hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. I would definitely, you know, if you only have $500 to spend, go ahead and just try out one city and see how that works.
That's great mm-hmm. advice. And that way, because again, if you're in the B2B space, you're probably very local to begin with. You probably have a right. customer base already there. Got it. Okay. So now let's go through. So I got my $500 and I spent it and I say, you know, hey, something's happening, right? And yeah. further refine that over time. Let's talk a little bit more about that refinement. I've done my $500 test. I'm seeing yeah. something that is giving me encouragement. I stay local, right? Because that's probably where some of my low hanging fruit is. Then what? What should somebody do?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you want to evaluate your analytics in the back end of LinkedIn. You know, for us, we're constantly. I mean, if you're starting with Houston, let's say, like it worked out in Houston, then you're going to want to expand that to other cities. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to take things from analytics. So analytics is going to teach you a lot. Google Analytics is going to teach you a lot about who your market is. So just stepping back, like prior to any platform, you can look in analytics and see what behavior and what is it about the people that convert for you really well? What's in common with them, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can find those commonalities, then you can match that to that platform.
Now, does LinkedIn do that for you? Do they give you some of those analytics beyond what you get on Google Analytics on your site?
I LinkedIn Analytics for me is not where I spend a lot of my time.
Okay.
For me, I'm driving people off LinkedIn personally. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any campaigns where I'm driving people to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Same. I haven't done any Facebook campaigns where I'm driving people to Facebook because mm-hmm. I want those people, you
right.
know, and I want to drop cookies on them for remarketing and things mm-hmm. like that. So, I tend to look in analytics and use the attribution modeling in there to evaluate LinkedIn, which at the end of the day, no matter what platform you're using, having that central attribution model separate from the platforms is important. So you really know what's coming from where and what's converting for you. But taking that data and seeing who converted and any more information you can, you know, pull out of that data to reapply into your LinkedIn targeting is great. So maybe you see that there's a lot of people that come to your website from a particular city or in looking in your CRM data of all of your current clients, you find that there's a high number of C-level executives or, mm-hmm. you know, LinkedIn has some really unique targeting options, but overall it's a little limited, we're spoiled now, but compared to Facebook and what AdWords can do, it's a little limited, but it's so unique and separates itself out so well from what Facebook and Google have that it's kind of its own unique animal. So at the point of finding, you know, that you're converting really well, my advice would be to expand that campaign into other cities and other targets based on the data you've pulled from CRM data and analytics.
Now, you talked about the fact that they do have three kind of ad formats for you, right? They've got the ad format for more display, they've got the text, they got the sponsored update. And I know when Jason Miller was on our show, he talked a lot about sponsored update, you know, how much he really thinks that's something that businesses should be using. Off the top of your head, right, you know, if you're just going into kind of a blind situation, which is what the radio show is going to be, right? You have no clues listening. What would be kind of your, like, if I'm going to take my $500, or let's say I do 500 and then I want to do another five, that I'm willing to spend more, where would you start to think on your ad formats you want to experiment with first? Because obviously the data will tell you which is resulting or not.
Yeah, so I feel like the push for sponsored updates may be coming from the fact that there's going to be more clicks involved and more money spent. If I was taking a very conservative $500 and wanting to play it very, very safe, and I had the time to nurture that $500 through advertising, I would recommend going with ads, just the sidebar ads, because it allows you to run up to 15 variations, so you can do some multivariate testing of not just the image you're using, but the text and the callouts and this call to actions, because you can't do that with sponsored. So sponsored doesn't give you an A/B test. Mm-hmm. You just run that sponsor and you get your results. And the conditions and variables are very different on a second sponsored run, right? So the ads allows you to kind of do really run a controlled test on what works and what doesn't. And what you can get out of that is information that will apply logically, that'll apply to your sponsored post. So I would take that as the first step, find out what works in that space before taking it to sponsored posts, because sponsored is going to get more clicks and more attention. And ads, the challenge there is you have a smaller space to work with. You really have to hone in and narrow down what your call to action is to get their attention. And as an aside, even though you are targeting people very specifically, they don't necessarily know that you're targeting them. Mm-hmm. So you want to make it very clear in the content of that sponsored ad or the ad that you're targeting them. So something like Houston teachers save thousands of dollars with our new program. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're targeting Houston and teachers, why not put that in the ad so that you're easily getting those people's attention? And anyone that doesn't, like, if the targeting is muddy for some reason and someone who's not a Houston teacher sees it, they're less likely to click it versus something that's just, you know, ambiguously exciting that everyone's going to click on, because you're going to pay for that click.
So let me get this straight. You mean a platform that survives on advertising revenue, maybe when you're wanting to push their highest profit margin ad product on you?
I know. It's almost, it's weird.
And I think that's really though, but I think the point that you made is just dead on, is that in advertising and in general online advertising, you're constantly testing, trying. Yeah. You know, first off, you have to have a budget to test with. I cannot reinforce that enough to people. You have to get some sort of budget together and say, I'm going to completely waste this money on testing, right? And set your expectations accordingly. And secondly, what you pointed out is that the ads that are there on LinkedIn, on the display ads on the right-hand side, not only do you have more options with them, but you can also, of course, you know, put into your messaging the targeting that you're already using on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to push back on one thing though, because we are going to have an episode about Facebook versus LinkedIn, okay? Because I'm going to have a fight with somebody, damn it. And I like you too much to fight with you right now. But I do, you know, this is something you talk a lot about, is that in Facebook, there are a ton, and I mean just a gazillion ways of zeroing in on people. And I would say Google probably would have second. But, you know, if you are, and I'm going to give two different aspects to this. I'm going to give the solo practitioner, right, and the, you know, medium size, you know, maybe $10, $20, $30 million business. Shouldn't they be on LinkedIn if they're selling B2B stuff versus Facebook? I mean, if I'm selling personal training, Facebook may be my space. But if I'm selling writing services or legal services or something that is a business oriented, shouldn't I be putting my money onto LinkedIn and just not worry about Facebook?
I mean, if you just look at the feed in Facebook lately compared to the feed in LinkedIn, I mean, yeah, I mean, the conversation itself, is your ad going to fit into that at all?
Right.
So I mean, when we compare LinkedIn to Facebook, so I guess your question is, if you're B2B, is there any reason you wouldn't be on LinkedIn?
Right.
The answer to that is no. And if we compare LinkedIn to Facebook, you know, LinkedIn in the first quarter of 2015 reported 364 million members.
Right. You're
like, holy crap, that's a lot. And then Facebook comes along and they report 1.44 billion monthly active users. And then, you know, LinkedIn's just like, oh man, you know,
right.
But that's 340 million people.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
How many customers do you have that you can't find more in 340 million people?
Right.
So, exactly. You know, if you're asking Procter & Gamble, like, hey, how is that going to affect you? They're like, yeah, we don't get as much out of, but if you're talking about, you know, Bob's Legal Services down the street or
yeah.
an attorney
right.
or any B2B, 340 million, come on. Like,
yeah.
There's plenty in there, especially when you're not mass advertising like TV or radio. You're specifically advertising to a job title within a company,
right.
within a city.
Wow. Yeah.
So 364 million should be plenty. So for me, it's like, there's this great quote by David Ogilvy about, you know, you're not advertising to a standing army, you're advertising to a passing parade. You know, it's kind of like you have this radar sweeping, and as people come into your market, you're advertising to them. And that's the way with magazine advertising all the way to display today. So what I try to tell people to do is you shouldn't think like, where should we be? You should be everywhere your audience is, right?
Right.
And so if 10% of your audience is on LinkedIn and you can target them directly, then you should be doing that. Mm-hmm. And if maybe, you know, it's a B2B, not so many of them are on Facebook, maybe 3% of them are on Facebook, well, yeah, go get that 3%. And then if the other 8% come through you organically, go get them. So yeah, they should absolutely be on LinkedIn to the degree at which the marketing is performs and they get the ROAS from the account.
Sure. Now let's go through, because of the time that we have left, we've kind of gone from the very basics, and we have definitely have our framework, if you will, and some ideas for testing, and we're going to start watching that. All right, now I want to get advanced because there were some things that you and I talked about that I totally want to share with everybody about some advanced ideas that you have. Now you know that LinkedIn is the place you should be, and you're starting to find the right targets. You're starting to zero in on the right ad formats. You are starting to see traction from that. Let's turbocharge it, Sean. Give us some advice for turbocharging it.
So yeah, let's even separate it into if your advertising has been effective, or even if your organic content nurturing has been effective.
Okay.
So I know you guys have talked a lot about, you know, teaching people how to post to LinkedIn and share their content, which generates, you know, clicks to the website. So whether the clicks to your website come about through organic content generation or it comes out through advertising, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth, it doesn't matter because both cost you time or money. But whatever it takes to get the people to your site, what you can do is merge the technologies of Twitter, AdWords, Facebook, and Bing in with the traffic you're bringing from LinkedIn. So basically, let's say you have a page on your website. Let's say, pushfire.com/teachers. Let's just keep it simple. I can advertise through LinkedIn just to teachers in Houston and direct them to my pushfire.com/teachers page. Now, you might want to make the teacher something more, you know, hidden behind the scenes, some sort of code. But for the example I'm giving today, let's say it's teachers. So then I drop a cookie from AdWords, Twitter, Facebook, and Bing on that browser, and I've created remarketing lists in all four of those advertising platforms of Houston teachers. Now, when those teachers go to Facebook, Twitter, anywhere on the Google Display Network, which represents, you know, 2+ million websites, you can even drop an AdRoll remarketing code, which represents 98% of the web. Now you've basically used LinkedIn to fill that funnel for you. Right. And then they see you everywhere.
Now talk about just for a second on AdRoll, because you did a great job. For those that don't know, every one of the major Facebook, Google, Twitter has a remarketing cookie capability. However, there is a company called AdRoll that does what?
Yeah. So AdRoll is, in short, it's a simpler way to remarket. So if you find analytics and AdWords to be a bit daunting and a little too much for you and frustrating and you're banging your head against the desk, AdRoll is the solution. It's much easier. It may cost a little bit more, but you know, if it's worth the lack of frustration you'll be saving, I would definitely recommend AdRoll. It represents 98% of the web. They basically, they're the middleman for all these ad exchanges they partner with. Mm-hmm. And it's just a much simpler, easier to use solution, but it lacks a lot of high tech technologies right. that the platforms have. So it's definitely a good place to start.
And when you say remarketing, just to mm-hmm. clarify that, and the reason that advertisers like you love remarketing is by putting these cookies, which is a piece of code on a landing page on your site that identifies who the person is, as right. they are migrating from site to site, going from Facebook over to Twitter, over to mm-hmm. CNN, whatever, then that cookie, that individual identification follows Correct. Them so that you can have your ad show to them as they're visiting other sites outside of your website. So you build on the two presets of great advertising, frequency and reach, with frequency right. being the remarketing aspect of it, of course, and reach right. being what you're trying to do with LinkedIn or other ways of drawing traffic into your site is to get Correct. That net fairly large so that you can put that ad roll or Google or Twitter or Facebook cookie and then follow them around with your ad, not annoying them, hopefully, right? Yeah.
You know, but as a marketer, I don't believe in annoying people. I believe in positive or negative ROAS. So yeah. I look at the data, but yeah, some people, I think us marketers get way more annoyed than anybody, but
I think marketers are the one that complain the most because they know what they're exactly, doing. Exactly. It's like yeah. magicians all sitting there critiquing other magicians.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I do that trick. How dare you do that trick?
That's right. The rabbit wasn't there to begin with. So, yeah. So yep. I get it. So that's kind of a clarification. And that's really where the power yeah. is, isn't it? Is that when you're looking at your online advertising, LinkedIn has a role, but it also, by combining it with other things like remarketing using either AdRoll or the right. actual specifics from the platforms, you now have just amplified that tremendously.
Right.
Now, what is another tactic that you're like, because we talk about, that's one of my favorite ones, by the way, I just love that. Is there another tactic out there that you're saying, okay, I'm getting this traffic in, here's something else, here's another tip to either amplify, accelerate, or simplify what you're doing with your advertising?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big tricks for, you know, in general for remarketing is to make sure that you're using all the ad sizes. LinkedIn offers some premium display ads. They've got the skyscraper, the medium rectangle. You know, always make sure that you're using all of the ad sizes available, particularly when it comes to mobile versus desktop, because they won't sometimes show your mobile ads or won't show your ads on mobile unless it's particularly small size. So always look at any platform's, you know, display ad sizes that they accept. And when you're having your graphic artist create those ads, just run the gamut, you know, get all of those ads, ad sizes. So you're never missing out on an opportunity for someone to see your ad. That's one of the biggest things. It's like everyone's competing for the most popular ad slots. But when it comes to remarketing, you want people to see you everywhere they're going. And if they go to a site that doesn't have that particular ad size, then you're out of luck. They're not going to see your ad.
Sean Micah Dolan, I love the name, from Pushfire. I will tell you, I cannot thank you enough for being on our show today.
And, thank you, guys.
If people want more information about you, we're going to put it in the show notes. And, of course, obviously, we here at Rainmaker Digital love Pushfire. And
love you guys
I know many other people in our space love using your services. So,
thanks.
Sean, thank you again for your time.
All right. Thank
Sean,
you,
Sean, Micah. Yep.
You too. Have a good day.
Take care. Micah, I love when smart people talk about really smart things.
It's true. It's true. And his name is Sean Micah. I just have to say that one last time.
Yeah, I know. How cosmically wild is that? But no, I'm just glad that we've covered off in advertising because, you know, we do have some questions on our LinkedIn discussion group, Micah, which as I pointed out in the beginning, we didn't give a plug for it. So let's give a nice little plug because what we've been finding on our discussion group are people are sharing this journey with us,
yes.
asking great questions about why I should be advertising on LinkedIn versus Facebook. Should I even spend my time there, you know, given what my services are? And they're also, of course, sharing their successes with the things they're doing. And so,
yeah. And they're still doing their homework. I mean, some of them are still posting to LinkedIn and to the Pulse Network. Mm-hmm.
So how does our audience find out about our super secret discussion group, Micah?
Oh, I do hope you'll join us. If you're in the continental United States, you're going to take out your mobile device and you're going to text us at 41411. That's 41411. And your keyword is going to be MyLink, MYLINK, with no spaces. And we want you to join us outside of the continental United States as well. And that's going to be an email to missinglink@rainmaker.fm.
Folks, really take the time. Join us in our discussion group. You will find it hugely valuable with tons of resources in it. And it's cost nothing and takes no time. So, Micah, that wraps up this episode of The Missing Link. And as a teaser, as I mentioned when we were talking to Sean, we're going to get in a little rumble here.
We're going to battle.
We're going to have a battle royale because our next episode is going to be with John Loomer, who, if you don't know who John is, please look him up. He is big in Facebook marketing. He's truly, truly an expert in it in many respects. And I'm going to beat him up a little bit about Facebook versus LinkedIn. So you don't want to miss that, folks. And I think, Micah, we're going to call it a show.
I love it.
All righty, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time on The Missing Link.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.